Welcome to Talking Games with Tim and Clayton. I am one of your two hosts, Tim Dunn. That's my co-host.
Clayton.
Clayton, how's your day today?
Oh, man, so good.
It just became great for both of us. We are doing a podcast of firsts tonight.
That's right.
We've got beer. There's a dog in the studio this evening. Let's do some clinking. Woof, woof.
That was not the dog.
Mmm.
We all just drank. Oh god, that was podcast death.
Oh my god,
we can't do that.
We're all at the same noises too. Yeah.
Oh my god.
We got a big show planned today. I think it's fair to say that.
Oh hell yeah!
Let's get right to it. Let's bring in our guest, Byron Hatfield. Welcome to the show.
Big show, big guest.
Really excited to be here.
Very excited.
Thank you for doing it. We all start out the same way, and that is, what are we playing right now? Byron, what are you playing?
This is not going to be really exciting. I'm actually playing Just Cause 2 right now.
That is incredibly exciting. What are you talking about?
I'm having Far Cry 3 withdrawal, so I finished that, and Blood Dragon. If you had talked to me 2 weeks ago, it would have been really exciting, because I was beating... Arcania, which is, it's just crap. Like, it is the worst. I was in the mood for an RPG, so I sort of found one that fit the bill, and I powered through and finished it, but it was just game full of broken mechanics. You know, buildings would disappear. You'd be like,
what?
Sometimes you cast a spell, it might be the same spell you meant to cast, it might hit something, it might not.
Is it an old one?
No.
Oh.
It is really shamefully new. Like, the developers obviously just got to a point, they're like, guys, we have to release this. So yeah, it was pretty terrible, actually. But, Gothic 4, Arcania.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Oh, it is fucking supposed to be awful.
It was horrible. Yeah. I can't believe I played the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to curse? I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
That's a bad word.
Dude, we encourage it.
I don't even, like, looking across at you, I don't know why I would ask that question.
At me?
Not that you make me want to curse, but just that.
every guest no says that.
So yeah,
I am not well liked on this podcast.
I played Just Cause 2 so much. I even, after it was done, just tried to, like, for a little bit, tried to 100% it. It's impossible. Like,
It's so huge.
I've completed exactly one of the main missions, and I've got the, like, black helicopter and all the weapons unlocked and everything. So at this point, I'm like, none of the island explored. It's not really balanced, let's be honest. It is kind of the game, I think, that became Far Cry 3 by people looking at it and going, like, what a great, because it's kind of cracked down too, and then it's also.
Yes. It's one of those things where it's like, is everything perfect? No, but it's just a blast.
Yeah, exactly.
My friend Chad made the correct decision. He played it on easy. Because it also happens to be a game you can't change the difficulty during.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Because I'm playing it on normal, which I find to be a bit too difficult for my sort of mindless run.
Yeah, for what you want it to be. It doesn't, like, yeah, I had the same problem with, like, the Infamous games, where it's like, why is it so much harder than it should be? Like, with Infamous, it kind of works to an extent, because otherwise it would just be too easy. But with Far Cry 3, or with Just Cause 2, I wound up, like, modding it and, like, basically just being like, infinite ammo. It's like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to fucking deal with all this shit.
I wish I was playing it on PC. I'm playing it on 360, so I'm stuck in this infinite loop of just hearing my, like, one of my best friends in the world just be like, this is fucking great, right? Like, I'm just, like, blasting everybody. I'm like, yeah, or, you know, running a lot.
Like, getting my health down, gotta get that back up. And
looking
then run
for
back.
The green squares, running towards them. Grappling most of the time away.
Really having it's to take fun. A long time to, you know.
Yeah, he's carefully strategize. Everything you want from a game, you're just trying to, like, mind.
Yeah. Right. Have you found the big, like, Goodyear blimp type thing that you can land on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. Like, we don't, like, the minute you see something like that, the first plane you hijack, you're like, can I reach that?
Oh, hell yeah. My favorite, I think, was where I, like, jumped out of a plane and, like, grapple hooked to the ground to save myself.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
no physics.
Such a great mechanic in and of itself. And then I land right in the middle of, like, you know, it's like, oh, kill this, like, general or whatever. And so I'm, like, blasting dudes, and then all of a sudden the plane fucking lands on all of us, and I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. It just fell.
It was still there, up there.
It like kills everybody, and I'm just like, holy shit.
I'm done that.
That's all on me.
Where you just jump out of it and you forget there's an actual object. Like, that's not going to fly itself at some point.
Yeah, coming right down towards it.
Oh, yeah, and the planes are just unflyable, I find.
They're so shitty.
Like, it's helicopters only. And it's slow. Did you guys find it to be like... I feel like I'm dogging on this game I'm playing. I mean, it's really my
taste. Very fun, listeners. It's a blast.
It's a lot of fun. Play it on easy if you have an Xbox. but yeah, like it's really, like, it crawls. Like, I started to do the math of the actual pace, because something will be like 2 kilometers away.
Oh, yeah.
And at the rate of time that you're accelerating towards it, I think you're... helicopter's doing like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, it takes a long time to cross the map. And also, like, I had a lot of times where I was like, well, should I like summon a vehicle with my buddy, or should I like just rope myself, like, you know, like that Spider-Man with a parachute thing across the island?
Yeah. I also modded it so I could fly. Like, right. Superman fly. And that is the best thing ever. Because, yeah, you just like, you just grapple onto something in the air and then just start flying, and it's like, oh yeah, I am a god here.
After playing, not Grand Theft Auto 5, but 4, God, what am I trying to say? That just came out this year. It was a GTA clone originally.
Oh, Saints Row.
Saints Row 4. I find it, because it's, again, similar. I find it really frustrating after having all those superpowers. Like, going back 2 years to play Just Cause, I'm like, you sons of... Like, when do I get to
fly? They spoiled you.
Yeah. You really did.
Yeah, when do I get to, like, speed run everywhere? God, that was so
just
much fun.
Just instantly sleep with whoever I want
to. I'm the Ular boys. I'd be all over that. So what are you guys playing?
Clayton, what are you
playing? Fucking Max Temkin, that son of a bitch, got me back into Spelunking. That fucking bastard.
I know, Max, yeah.
I'm so mad.
I had a similar thing. I'm still stuck at the point where I have to get the key from the first world to towards the end. And
shit. It's hard. It's not fun. It's hard and frustrating. What I really wanted to do is like put, because Max came on here and basically talked about it, I was like, the best game ever made and everything, and I was like, shit, I need to go back to this game. And I'm playing, I watched the
eggplant
run, the solo eggplant run, and it is fucking amazing. And like playing through it, I'm just like, wow, I really am having some fun here. And I die and I'm like, fuck this forever, never playing again.
10 minutes
later.
It.
Yeah. It's you like, know what? I'll jump back in. Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty much all I've been playing. Frustrating.
That's good. So we're both playing really frustrating games.
Yeah.
What's frustrating you, Tim?
I was playing a little bit of Spelunky, but the thing from this week, ladies and gentlemen, when we last checked in with my games I have cried at count, it was at 2 games. The Mass Effect 3 demo. And, oh, Brothers, Tale of Two Sons. For my birthday, Clayton Margeson got me to the moon. And that count is now 3, you son of a bitch. Oh, my God.
What is To the Moon? I don't know.
Oh, To the Moon is this, like, it looks like a like an SNES RPG, like that style graphics, but it is about... Would you... It's kind of similar to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind,
yes,
actually.
Yes, 100%. Wow. Yeah.
It is this game... about you are scientists and, or I guess, you work for this company that it's their job to go to people who are on their deathbed and through their mind give them whatever experience they want. So this guy, you get there and he wants to go to the moon, and you realize that it's not like he just wanted to be an astronaut. He wanted a whole, like, he wanted his life to go better than it did. And like through like messing with his memory and stuff, you make it happen. And I really didn't think it was going to get me, but there was this one point where it just made me weep. Oh, it was what? Like,
yeah,
the memories were like reconstituting and like the new life was showing up.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're playing that sad, like 16-bit piano-y music.
Yeah. That game, I cried so much. I really did. And the big thing was because he has really a bad relationship with his wife. And it's not his fault.
Who
and that's what
this,
keeps
like,
telling me. She basically is like autistic.
Yes.
Or has Asperger's.
Oh,
Asperger's.
Come
not
on.
Not autistic. Yeah. That's too far. It's she, but she has Asperger's for sure.
No, I don't mean come on bad. Yeah. I just mean come on, I would cry.
But it's like, yeah, so you just realize it's like, God, he, like, this woman just like...
But he loves her so much,
yeah, he's
too,
totally obsessed with her. And it's so like, dude, no, this is so destructive for both of you.
Yeah.
And you can tell it just gets worse and worse as they get older. And, oh my god. It fucking, and I had just been in a bad relationship when I played it, and with a bad breakup. And it was that same sort of thing of like, this person is toxic and it's not their fault. It's not your fault. Yeah. You're just not good together. And I fucking like, how I wept, ladies and gentlemen.
My wife and I just started, The Last of Us.
We played it together.
Yeah, we play games together. We play RPGs together, and I mostly play, and then she watches. But like, she had never played Portal, so we just went through Portal.
Our house
is now full of like companion cube stuff, and like a lot of like I got really attached to companion cube, and I spent a lot of time trying to figure out a way to save it during a particular part. Watching somebody else go through that exact same sort of like, there's got to be a way, and that slowly developing hatred of GLaDOS was amazing. So, like, it's nice we play together, but we started Last of Us, and, like, after the opening cutscene, I will never spoil anything.
Oh, yeah, I cried as well.
But
oh,
I literally, God. Yeah, it was just like, I find myself more and more getting emotionally involved in games, and I think that's part of where their storytelling's going.
Yes, yeah. Really, and powerful. Let me tell you, with that one, it gets worse. It gets,
Thanks, man. that's good. Both from an emotional standpoint, and a spoiler standpoint.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, you knew
a zombie. It's gonna get better. Like,
my
girlfriend shows up immediately and saves us, right?
My girlfriend and I, I played through it already, and then I was playing through it again, and she wanted to watch, and we got about, like, 2 hours in before she was like, I can't do this. Like, it's too much. And I was like, really? And I was like, yeah, no, that makes sense. this shit's rough.
That and The Walking Dead were like really emotionally draining for me.
Yeah, I cried a little bit.
Do you guys read the graphic novels of The Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm. I did for a while. Yeah. I haven't read them in a while.
Okay, 19 just came out. I'm, again, not going to say anything. I would never. I'm a writer, so I don't spoil shit. Did you read issue 8, the compendium 18?
No, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
I gave up, I think, about the time they finally got, like, left the prison.
That's where I left off, too.
Okay, yeah. That's a ways back. Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, not now.
I was like, Jesus Christ, I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, it is a bleak, bleak-ass existence. And then there was recently, like, a very large to-do or something, and there was a particular moment that has been sticking out. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, issue 18.
Oh,
and it's just fucking brutal. Like, and to my own credit, like, I was eating out somewhere and was just like, I think I have to go.
that's what I'm going through with True Detective right now.
No, I haven't watched it.
Amazing.
I've seen the first episode. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
All right. So anyways. I'm glad I can show up and derail this entire thing. Sorry.
No, we're very excited because Byron pitched us something for his episode that we had never heard of before.
Truly.
And we were like, you know what? Let's do it. Byron, why don't you explain what we're about to do?
So my concept was this. When you asked me, like, what would my topic of choice be? I was like, well, how about this? How about I bring a series of topics and we roll dice to see which one we discuss? So I've brought six topics that you guys are unaware of. We each have a six-sided die. We'll roll to see who goes first.
Amazing.
Who rolls first to a topic, or who talks first, or however you want to format.
We'll do three. Is that the plan?
However many we get through. You're on the timer. Like, however many, we'll just give it like 10 minutes to discuss each one. And
all right.
We'll roll through however many we get through.
Right? I love it.
So 1 through 6, simultaneous, we'll roll. Highest number rolls first.
Okay.
All right.
Now, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
1, of course.
6.
1.
Fuck.
Wow.
You are definitely. So we'll just round them like that.
All right.
All right, sir. If you want to now roll for your topic.
3. 3.
Hmm. What video game are you most proud of beating?
Oh,
I think I already know what yours is.
Yeah, Dark Souls, easily.
Oh,
easily. Yeah, first and foremost in my mind. Fuck that game. I love that game.
No, but it has to come with a hint of anger, right?
Oh my god, yeah. No, it's fucking. I still get mad about moments in that game where. Yeah. And it is a combination of, like, I'm so mad at that game, and I'm so mad at myself. It's like grief and a lot of anger. I the first time you meet that fucking dragon boss, the Seath the Scaleless or whatever. You fight, it's an unwinnable battle, which I hate. Yeah. I hate those.
Because you play them over and over thinking they're not an unbeatable
battle.
There's
gotta be something here.
There's
gotta
be something I can do. I can save the cube. I can beat the dragon.
Exactly.
I can come out of the barn and kill everybody. Yeah.
But it turns out, thankfully, they throw you right into like, oh shit, you're in like a prison cell or something from there. So you figure out that it's like, oh, okay, I wasn't supposed to beat that guy. Because every boss kills you in the first try. I got almost all of them. Though there were some, like, the Capra demon that I, like, beat on the first try, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah! Like, I was so happy. Fucking that game. Yeah, but when I beat that game, I felt, like, such relief, I think, more than anything else, that I would never have to play it again. And then I immediately started playing again. Like, that is how... they really... And recently... Yahtzee Crenshaw is one of my favorite reviewers out there, did like a finally basically beat Dark Souls and reviewed it, and he's like, I wanted to hate this game so much because everyone tells me how great it is and blah blah blah. He's like, and yeah, there are some problems with it, but Jesus Christ, like, this is such a good game because it doesn't like, sure, there's the hand holding, like, you know, hand holding bullshit kind of stuff, but it's like so cruel in that direction. He's like, what I love is that all the story stuff comes from atmosphere, like, and pointed out something I hadn't really thought about, but it's like all the architecture in this game is built for things much bigger than you.
Mm.
So you're wandering around these dead cities that are like, that it's like, yeah, you clearly are such a,
you're
tiny,
like
a
speck.
Yeah. Yeah, you almost don't.
That's so
you
true.
Definitely don't
you
belong
definitely
there.
Definitely don't. Yeah, and it dwarfs you. What a great way atmospherically to make you feel
exactly
powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all the bosses are gigantic, but they follow the same kind of rules and stuff as you do.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, they have stamina, they have health.
You can block them.
You can block and parry and all that stuff. Oh god, it's such a great game. But yeah, the most infuriating. Yeah. All right, when I beat Spelunky, I'll say that one as well, but I've never beaten.
Yeah. Are you gonna pick up the new one,
Dark Souls 2?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, no question. That comes out in March, I think.
Oh yeah,
right. And yeah, I'm definitely picking it up. In fact, I want to try to beat Dark Souls again before it comes out.
Oh, no.
That probably won't happen because that fucking game makes me so mad.
A good game like that has to make you mad.
That's part of the deal.
No, the question is not like, it's pride comes from like, really. I'll jump mine really quick, which is, I don't know if you know Rygar. This is
no.
Old school. Okay, this is a Super Nintendo game. It was fucking terrible. It was, you get three lives, so there was no save. It was the most miserable experience. It's a side scroller. I spent, you would have to save it, there is no save, so you pause.
Right.
And you basically, it was one of those, like, you just memorize levels.
Yeah.
And you play it over and over and over, and so you just keep going, and you could maybe get a couple of extra lives, but not a lot of them. And it was insane, because you could level up your weapon a little bit, or you could fight, but fundamentally, you had to almost memorize about, I don't know, 12 to 15 hours of gameplay in order to... And I remember, like, when I beat it, I was in the basement of my house, and my mom was like, you're like, it's dinner! And I was like, I'm like pausing, like, you don't understand! I gotta be down here to fucking beat this game! Because I have probably 120 hours in this game! And, like, I will, like, if anybody turns the Nintendo off, I'm gonna fucking murder somebody! And I did, like, just paused it and would wait and then pause it and then wait, you know, and die and then play the entire way through. And you get to this floating castle and it's so far into the game and you fucking die and then you start the entire game. You play the entire game
Jesus.
Back over.
Oh.
And it was so intense.
There's no, like, password or anything?
Nothing.
Or, like, levels? Oh,
there
God.
Was nothing. You beat this game or you just don't. And it's, oof. And I will to this day, and I don't remember a lot about my childhood, but... I both drink and am old. So, like, but I like that, I will never forget the moment of beating Rygar, this shitty side-scroller, and just a game that I've met maybe one other person that's ever been like, oh, yeah, I beat
Oh, I know Rygar.
Yeah. I know Rygar. I know people that know it. They'll be like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I played the shit out of Rygar. Fuck that game. And I'd be like, and I can just be like, yeah, I beat that.
I beat Rygar.
And there was, like, no great ending or anything, but I beat Rygar.
Yeah, that's always, yeah. With those games,
oh,
it was
yes,
just, like,
absolutely.
A kill screen, basically.
I feel like even Dark Souls is, like, a very small ending, right?
Actually, I yes. Like,
yeah.
It's not worth it. But, like, the ending in and of itself, but it's the feeling that goes along with it. Also, the fact that, like, what I liked about the game was that its futility doesn't, it's not like you save the world at the end, you basically just sacrifice yourself, you can sacrifice yourself to like make the world go on for a pitifully small amount of time before someone else does the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just this feeling of like, Jesus Christ. After all that.
Existentialism.
Man. Yeah. It is really messed up.
I like about that game, because you kind of don't really know what's all going on with the world. Mm-hmm. It's a very weird, like, lore mythos of that world.
Yeah. I explored a lot of it after I beat it, because I wanted to, like, learn more.
Yeah.
And they're just basically, it's, like, all guesswork.
Yeah, yeah.
They only put in stuff, it's, like, item descriptions, and, yeah, there's that, like, weird CGI opening that, like, doesn't make any sense. It's, like, oh, the dragons died, blah, blah. And you're like, what the fucking, what are you talking about? And it's like, and the old gods have left. Like, who are you, you fucking crazy bitch? And you don't.
Skyrim people in here, write some books.
Yeah.
Put some fucking books somewhere.
Give me some lore.
Yeah. Come on, some notes. Leave some notes on some corpses.
I have one that I was less angry at. I was just very terrified of, and I'm glad I beat it because I was like, "Yeah, I beat you." And that is the original Silent Hill. There's only like two games where I've turned off the system out of fear that it would do harm to me, and that is Resident Evil 2 and Silent Hill. I don't understand the logic of that looking back on it, but
that's good.
Like it was just terrifying to me, and like. If you look back at it now, it's like ridiculous.
It's hard to play them now.
Oh yeah,
really hard.
Yeah,
but I had the same thing with Amnesia. To be fair,
yeah,
I was like so happy it was over.
Sure,
Jesus Christ, it scared me so bad.
I'm trying to think of what game would have terrified. Like I definitely commiserate with like you get so far in, you just buy in, you buy into the whole mythos of it, and you get so wrapped up. I had a hard time actually with State of Decay. The Xbox. I got real. I think that was more just nerd, like just fucking managing so many whiny like survivors. Just being like, Therese needs to go for a walk. Like everybody's arguing back at the camp. We're also out of food. And like you're like, guys,
fuck off. Why is it on me?
Exactly. Guys, I'm the crack shot and the best melee guy.
Can you guys take your walks and whatever?
Just like, can we just get a leader? And maybe I won't be that guy.
Yeah, it's like, you're all adults. Fucking figure it out. That's like what drives me crazy about those games. That you have to do everything for everybody.
Solving all the Mass Effect problems.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I remember there was a moment where...
How Krogan can't counsel somebody?
Or like when somebody was on like the Citadel and they were like, you know, I'm having troubles with my boyfriend. And I was like, is this Shepard's responsibility right now? Like, is this something he should be tending to?
I've got stores to promote, friend.
It's true, though. It's so true.
I've got a galaxy to save his dancing.
Like, if you were another person at the party, wouldn't you be like, hey, the people are dying. Like, shouldn't we go? Like, shouldn't we go right now?
No, I gotta take care of this.
I feel like every RPG game's like that, though. It's fundamentally you're wandering around somebody's house, pilfering it.
Oh, just opening
at the same
stuff.
Time. And they're like, God, my daughter's lost in the forest. And you're like, go on. Like, and you're like, opening your crate.
And you're like, tell me more while I steal your money.
And you seem to not care.
Oh, let me take this sword that must have cost, like, your entire life savings.
Exactly.
Like, how do you have this sword?
I noticed you have a talisman over here. That's amazing.
Also, this village has maybe 15 people. I don't understand how this is about.
How do you lose it? None of you have a job. You stay there.
You have one store. That guy only has a whole 100 gold. I know that because I took it.
Amazing.
All right. Shall we,
let's keep going.
All right.
And then we tied. Should we roll off?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm always about to roll off.
6-3.
Oh, right. Man,
and our topic is number one.
It's a Dungeons & Dragons question.
Yay!
Oh, hell yeah.
What was an amazing or insane moment you did when you did something that made the DM have to basically just make up rules to get through the moment?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So as a playing character, you just went off the fucking page.
I had my first D&D romance in my last game.
Nice.
That is something. No, but that's a perfect example.
It's like,
it's not something people do a lot in D&D. And there was like this sea captain, and my guy had like 8 charisma, and I was like, look, I'm just going to go for it. I know he's not like a ladies man. He's probably an ugly ass elf, but I was like, tell you what, Grayson is our DM, and I was like, I'm just going to do a, I don't know if it would have been like a some sort of check of, like, diplomacy or something like that. And I just rolled, and I got a 19. And he was like, okay, she's really into you. And then I did it again, and I got, like, an 18. And then I...
Oh, man.
Everybody was going to, like, let it go. But I was like, next game, I was like... So they let us describe, like, how we woke up in the morning. And I was like, I think she visits me. Like, I think she visits me in my place now. So I, like, wake up next to her, and my character isn't as into her as she is into me. Or, sorry, she's not into me as I am into her. I'm way more into her than she is. But
God.
We even rolled to see how attractive she was. And I kept harping on it, and Grace was like, okay, fine, we're just going to roll and see how attractive she was. And she was, like, he described her as a, like, a female sea captain, so I didn't have high hopes, but she got a 14 out of 20. So that's pretty good. That's really good. That's not bad.
That's real.
And, like, she's into Mongoloid elves, which is a real bonus. Like, that's your, when you're trying to build a backstory, she's always looking for
that. I have a 1 intelligence.
And 8 charisma. I mean, 8 charisma's... That's pretty low.
That's not good.
Isn't that like a negative 1 modifier? Don't you?
Oh, actually, it's a negative 1 modifier.
1 or 2? Yeah.
But my dude's good at shooting people, and that's about it.
Yeah. Ooh, okay.
So she's into skills more than
I guess so.
He had 1 good night, and he's just trying to...
just trying to recreate it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I remember... I do remember picking a fight with all the city guards. which was like the DM, and I kept killing them. Like, and it was just like the DM was like, well, we can't do anything until like either you fucking murder the entire town guard or like, or whatever.
Or go to jail.
Or go to jail or something. You know, like something needs to happen. I was like, nah, man, fuck them. Like, I'm gonna keep, it's like standing in the middle of like the Skyrim, like town square. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Ripping fucking guards apart.
Or like, it was Fallout, so funny. Shooting all the guards or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it was so fucking funny because yeah, like each time he'd be like, okay, like I'm gonna give you the out. And I was like, no, fuck you. it was because when I went to the guard captain to like inquire about like work, he was like a dick to me because the DM was just being a dick. And so I was like, fuck him. It's like, I'm gonna kill him. And then just kill the entire town. And that was a lot of fun, mainly because the DM was getting madder and madder. No. And everyone else, all the other guys, like, it'd be, you know, like, their turn, and they'd just be like, I'm just gonna spectate someone. Like, they're just watching, not doing anything. So much fun. That was in college, and yeah, we didn't play after that. Like, I basically drove this guy so crazy, he was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to play anymore.
That's awesome. And that's the, like, that was the revolving nature
of
the question. Because it's always on the DM. Like, I DM mostly. And, and so those moments definitely happen for, like, our most recent one was, actually, Chris Geiger pulled a really good move, who's been on your podcast before, obviously. In which he had a guy named Brick who was very low of intelligence and charisma, but had really amazing disguise abilities, like arbitrarily. But he still pulled off a maneuver that was just like, he's like, I'm going to try to disguise myself in a room full of fucking people. And I'm like, dude, you got to, like, you have like a 5% chance of pulling this off. Like, you can try to do percentile dice, but you're already in a room with people. Like, if you're really going to try to, like, disguise... Fucking rolls like a 97. So like, immediately, it's just like, and then the guy's so dumb that it's really just sort of like a mustache.
And people are like, oh, yeah, just person like, here.
Hello, I must leave to go to the bathroom. I'm a fellow guard. And like, trying to develop a story that works around that to be like, well, you know what? You happen to get a guard that has
it
like,
checks
you
know, out.
He's got like Lyme's disease, so he's hallucinating lightly. So you just happen to, you know, like those moments I love. We personally, I know that one time we were in a game a long, long time ago. We were fighting a giant and losing poorly. And made an arbitrary check, because I had lost my weapon at that point, and I didn't have a lot, but you always have, like, a grappling hook and 50 feet of rope, yeah. Right? And that was my main, somewhere tucked about you. And, that was my move, was hooking a giant in the jaw. And it worked. And because, like, the one thing my guy was, like, immensely strong. And so, because of, like, two rolls back to back, like yours, Tim,
yeah.
I was able to,
actually rip a giant's jaw off.
Oh my god!
Like literally, like did, like because it was a valid DM move. Like he was like, there's only a small chance that you're gonna hit it in the first place. Second, like you're like try to fucking rip it off. And I'm like, man, God, strength, bro. Let's not talk about it. You know, like. Let's try it. And it worked. Like, it was just a straight, like, ripped this fucking giant's jaws from his face. And that was, like, the turning point. And he had meant that to be a battle in which one of us died.
Yeah.
And we ended up dominating so heavily in the battle, he was just like, fucking climax. So, yeah, that was... All right, well, that works. That was exactly it. All
right. Nice. I love it. Cheers. Yeah, just like... fucking, I'm just killing guards all day. All right, we're done.
No, I love it. Yeah, it's just one of those moments where, like... Well, it's up to you. You're the storyteller.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what would my guy do? Fucking back-to-back fight guards all day long. Am I winning? Why am I going to stop? They're going to run out eventually, and then I just got like an empty weird town to wander through. Some old lady that wants me to look for her daughter, and I'm just going to go through her shit. You know? Who's going to show up? Not the guard. They're all dead. They're in a pile in the town square out there.
I was just going about the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Guards will handle it.
Towns aren't very helpful in RPGs, are they?
No.
Like, fellow townspeople and stuff? You never...
Oh, no, no, no.
Maybe in, like, a Dragon Age game.
Yeah. I was just thinking of all the times, like, in D&D where a DM has been like, okay, and then there's this town you can go to, and we're like, no, we're going to go over here for a while. Yeah. And then they have to, like audible, like, find out how to take this thing they wrote and make it happen over here.
Yep.
Which I've never DM'd. It seems like a lot of work. I don't know how to do that stuff, but
you just have to make it up on the fly.
Yeah.
If you want to have a really, it's the reason that we play 3.5 instead of 4 is that 3.5 is more story based. One of the things that I really detested about 4 was the miniatures because you get caught up in a 2-hour fucking battle talking about line of sight. Like, well, technically my elf's up on a rock right now, so I'd probably be able to see over that wall.
He'd probably shoot past that pillar.
Yeah, like, exactly. He'd probably, just be honest. He's in parts of cover.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just, oh, God, no. I'd rather have, like, a group of people being like you're in a tent and it's on fire. Yeah. And you know the guards are outside. What you gonna do? You know.
Yeah, that's more fun.
So.
Way more fun.
Shall we
attempt? Yeah, let's do another one.
All right, one more.
We could probably do a couple more.
All right. Hey, you're listening. Hey, it's my roll.
Yep.
All right. 6! I got really excited. What game took you an embarrassingly long time to figure out how to play?
Oh boy.
This can be a card game, like where you're like three friends, you obviously have figured it out and you're the one sitting around going like, I don't understand how to play this yet, but I'm just gonna keep faking it. Or a video game, like anything. Or are there any? Maybe you
can. Yeah, no. The first one that comes to mind for me is, I've known several people that have quit at the beginning screen of the first battle of Final Fantasy Tactics because they don't know how to scroll over and put more people in their party into the battle. So they go in with like 2 people and they get slaughtered immediately and they're like, man, Final Fantasy Tactics, that's like an incredibly hard game. And I'm like, no, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Like, I went through the same problem and I was like, oh, shit. But then beyond that, like, Tactics is a complex game to like understand and get, and like by the end you're able to do it without even looking at the controller, but yeah, that was one where it took me a long time. But that being said, I'm totally glad I got into it.
Oh, it's the best. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I this was based out of me this last weekend learning to play Battlestar Galactica.
It's weird. Matt Lovney was just telling us about this.
It's a fan. It's an amazing game.
That's what I hear.
It's basically werewolf combined with, you know, some elements of. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's going to play it, but like you're trying to figure out who the Cylon is, and there's a chance that nobody is the first several turns, and eventually there are definitely a couple or multiple Cylons in the game.
That's awesome.
And you don't know who is who, and sometimes it's revealed to the person halfway through the game that they're a fucking Cylon.
Yeah.
And then that entire time you're being attacked constantly, and you're trying to jump, and you're trying to manage fuel and different, like, there are so many elements to this game. And then as a character, you're, you know, like, I was, no, it wasn't Starbuck. I was Starbuck. And so, like, as I'm playing, I'm like, all right, well, I have these particular cards that I pull each round, and there's, like, multiple types of cards. So, like, it is a deep, complex game. And going around, and these people had played before, and I was like, well, I've watched a couple games, which I have, which is not an indicator that I've played before. And so I'm sitting there, and, yeah, like, 2 or 3 turns in, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. At all. Yeah, it was good. So that's where that came out. So that was a recent game that I was like, that's really bullshit. I went my way through. Poorly, by the way, I lost.
No, yeah.
Baldur's Gate 2.
Oh, those are real good.
That fucking, that game.
Jesus.
I think if I booted up now, I still would not totally be right on the same page as where I need to be.
What was it?
And I think it was like, well, when I was playing it the first time, I just had never played anything like it. So I was like, I couldn't manage my like party tactics very well. I didn't like pause often enough to like kind of, it's like, okay, hold on, let me like, sort of strategize here a little bit.
Yeah.
These are
top-down role-playing games.
Yeah.
Based on AD&D rules, like
second edition,
yeah, which yeah. I played the hell out of, which I'm just now realizing gave a huge advantage.
to knowing
what, like, when they were talking about, like, this particular weapon or this spell or this whatever and this armor, and I'm like, oh, this is obviously better, but without that knowledge.
Yeah, you just don't understand. Absolutely. And yeah, I never played second edition. Oh. So I was so fucking lost the whole time. And like, I didn't know how to build my character correctly, cause I hadn't really played that many like, character build RPGs. So I was just like, for years, all my friends were like, yeah, Baldur's Gate 2, that's like one of the best games that ever came out. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Can one of you come over and show me?
Could you please? I don't know.
I still don't think I've ever beaten that. I got pretty far and then I just kind of like fucked off. But once I figured out how to fucking play it. And then it was great because then when I was playing...
Neverwinter Nights?
Dragon Age Origins.
Which is
kind of a similar
setup. But more streamlined, for sure.
I was playing that and I was like kicking ass. And all my friends were like... How the fuck do you play? Oh, my, like, college friends, you know? Like, how the fuck does this game work? Yeah, like, this is so hard. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea.
You don't know.
Yeah.
This is the spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate 2.
What's the deal to deal with this chick's emotional bag and shoot fire? Pretty much had this one. Wait, I'm basically
playing. But yeah, I still probably, if I, like, jumped in, I'd be like, fuck this game. How the fuck does he think?
There are a few of those games where, like, largely tutorials are annoying to me, but a few of them are like, no, I need some more help, please.
Dark Souls yet again.
Yeah.
Just something to be like, hey man, you gotta be human to, like, get human companions. I was like, oh, thank you, you fucking assholes. Yeah. Instead you just was like, oh, try jumping in front of, like, a pit.
And yeah.
Like, oh, you fucking asshole.
Did you ever, have you guys ever played Fallout 2? The original.
Oh yeah.
God, that was.
Also weird learning curve.
Counting, like, because I was always like a sniper sneaking or whatever. So like,
yeah.
Just fucking counting, like number of attacks. You know, like being like,
yeah.
Kim 11 away, so I can move one closer, take a shot, move two back. Maybe they won't be able to get to me by the time. Yeah, God, the turn base was nuts.
Yeah, man. Like Jagged Alliance and all those.
Oh, I didn't play Jagged Alliance.
Jagged Alliance is like. Sort of the early version of, like, XCOM and all that. It's so fucking hard, though. Because, yeah, there's a lot of, like, cover stuff, and, like, you can get this mercenary who can do this thing, and blah, blah, blah. It's, if you played the new Shadowrun Returns, it's, like, the same concept.
Oh, gotcha.
I have yet to play that.
That great.
Did you play the original? That's why I was trying to sneakily sort of sideways up there. Like, I think that it will be great when there's enough user-based content.
Yeah.
That comes along. I think that's kind of the, when the cities are filled out and when the patches are done and when the users really create a more rich environment and world.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump all in. I love Cyberpunk, but I just never got a great feeling about.
Yeah, no, that's the right feeling to have. Because, yeah, I jumped in and I was like, oh, by now, like, you know, a year after it came out, I was like, oh, this will probably be good. And I jumped in and I was like, oh, fuck me. Like, there's like, everything's like a half finished episode of bullshit, whatever. And I'm like, and it's like, oh my god, like, this is the best story you'll find on here on your planet. I was like, this is garbage. This guy, like, everything's misspelled. It's driving me crazy. Makes me so mad. Oh, that game.
Let's do one more. Byron, do you want to roll again, or do we want to pick the one that you would like to answer the most?
I don't know. Let me
look. Oh, let's do that. Yeah.
I have one. Oh, well, that's... Do the one that you're, like, thinking of.
Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It's not, like, it's not...
No, yeah, let's do
it. In honor of today. It's nerdy, but it's not gamey. What's your favorite Harold Ramis movie?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Let's do that one. I would say... first off, my father was a huge Harold Ramis fan. Mm. I guess I should say, like, Stripes and Caddyshack are his favorite movies.
Stripes
of all time.
Are his fan.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And Caddyshack, obviously.
But Caddyshack.
Stripes is not one that gets mentioned a whole lot.
It's not
that's why
really.
I jumped on it. Yeah.
But it's a very funny movie. I gotta say, personally, I gotta go with Ghostbusters. Like,
yeah.
it's just my absolute favorite. I still watch that from time to time. It holds up. It's, and like, there's even things that I don't remember, like the beginning scene where, Bill Murray is testing the girl, like the hot chick and the like nerdy guy for psychic intelligence.
He's torturing the guy.
And the guy clearly has psychic intelligence, but he's just torturing him. Oh my
in
God.
Order to get with a girl.
Oh, yeah. It's so fucking
that
funny.
Is good. Do you remember where you were like the first time you watched it? Or do you remember the first time?
You know what? It was one of those ones because I hadn't seen The Godfather until like maybe 4 years ago. I think
it's really good.
Yeah. No.
There's a lot of critics that are huge fans.
I mean, I probably watched it 5 years ago or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, I always liked Bill Murray. Top to bottom.
He's good.
He's
okay.
Bill Murray, kind of sticks out a little bit in that cast.
He's always in the background, taping a gun to the fucking toilet.
How about you?
I mean, Groundhog's Day is probably Groundhog Day. That is probably my favorite. I was like trying to think of something else, and I was like, no, it's the one that I always think of when I think of him.
Yeah,
It's and that's sort of I'm like that's gotta be it. It's so like there's all the dark shit in there is really good.
Oh yeah,
I really like that. He like tries to fucking like kill himself at times. Like that's
everything
so great and
horrible
so nuts.
You can do as a person in that section of the movie. Yeah,
yeah, it's really interesting to watch and like just kind of be like, wow, what the fuck is this? I think when I first watched it, I was just so totally blown away.
Yeah,
because you don't have very high expectations for it either. It's like, oh, whatever, yeah, those guys live in the same day. And then it's like, oh, because it was like this dumb, shitty day that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, what if you had to do that every day? And it's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, and they originally, I remember reading that it was, because the original script said it was 10,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
oh.
Yeah, the original script had a little bit more descriptive. It's supposedly held to be like a perfect Buddhist movie.
Interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's held to be, like, an absolute perfect example of Buddhism, and there are even, like, treaties and things on it. Treaties. not treaties. Like,
Germany and France will never go after each other because
of
Groundhog Day.
It's perfect. It's supposed to, it's a perfect, it was, like, 10,000 years or something.
Yeah, there was, like, a deleted scene, I think. I don't remember it in the movie, but maybe it is in there, but where he, like, picks up a book off the shelf on, like, the top left part of a bookshelf, and it's like just covered with books, the shelf. And then like a few scenes later you see him like finishing and putting back the book in the bottom right corner, like, oh my god, he just read all these books, like, because he's like got nothing else to do.
That was part of it, was because it was so depressing. They were like, we can't that's horrifying to hear.
I still remember the moment where he's like answering the Jeopardy questions, and then he looks to the person next to him and he answers one before it's even asked.
Yes, absolutely. I have to say the same movie. When I watched it the first time though, I was back home in Tennessee and I was not in a place to like enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, a place in my life. Like I just was kind of a redneck kid or whatever. Like, so like watching it, everybody, I remember in the theater was like, ugh. And as the day would start, as it got further on, instead of being like, brilliant, you know, it was just like, oh man, when is this shit gonna end? God. And I was like, man, like something was feeling. I remember walking away from being like, that was different and interesting and fuck that. And then, you know, now that I've watched it 30 times I'm obviously a different creature in the world, but like, adore it. It is by far one of my favorite movies, not just Harold Ramis, but and Stripes. I remember the first time, because Stripes is unique because it is two movies in one.
Yes.
And which is a very rare thing. And I think there was
got a first half and a second half.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a, like, the minute they take off in the weird war vehicle,
that's a very different movie.
The first half
is the one I like.
I will agree with you on that. With the spatula. Yeah.
And like John Candy's great in it. There's so many like very talented people in it. Given that I watched it when I was 13, guys, there's great nudity in it. Let me just say that.
Oh hell yeah.
I do actually remember that.
I'm into it. I'm big time into it.
I miss light R nudity in movies. Yeah. I mean, like, just gratuitous, just like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But don't... Like, most girls are in the shower when you go to look for them.
Like, I feel like now that we have the internet, it's just not as big of a thing.
Yeah, I know.
Seeing a naked woman used to be a big deal, you guys.
So you're saying that you can find naked humans on the internet?
Oh, Byron. Oh.
Go on.
We need to do a whole nother hour.
Wait, can we do a whole podcast where you just teach how to find porn on the internet? That'd be great.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Sorry.
Just because I'm curious, can you tell us what the other two questions were?
That's really not the way this game.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, damn.
We can. What is, oh, here you go. What's the most racist thought you've ever had? Go ahead. Clayton first.
I'm so glad you asked this.
And then, they're gonna, exactly. Have you ever played, I'm kidding. That wasn't really a question.
Oh my god.
I know. Well,
wondering why I wasn't able to answer.
Or most, I was waiting. I thought you were gonna be like, I don't even play a black guy in Skyrim.
In fact, I kill any that I find.
Good. You know what? I do that towards the Dark Elves. But that's because I actually don't like their philosophy. So I did feel...
That's fair.
I actually felt a little bit like what it starts with a TH? What am I trying to do?
Thalmor.
Like, because they're slavers. And I find myself... Yeah. This goes back to Fallout 2, actually, to tie this whole thing together. It goes all the way back to Fallout 2. I've always had a rule randomly in my RPG that slavers die.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
I wage full war. Like, there's no worse thing you can do. So you always know who the bad guy is by, like, boom. You know, so the Thalmor are, like, one of three sort of possible people you can kind of deal with in Skyrim. Yeah. And I immediately, like, the first time I saw, like, a chain, like, them, like, chaining people and, like, walking them down, I was like, well, fuck, and I know who I'm not siding with, you know?
Yeah. Like, same thing with, like, Caesar's Legion and Paul and
Obey. Same thing, exactly.
Yeah, makes, like, fucking kill that first group felt
there's
so
no,
good.
There's no good misunderstood slaver.
That's exactly it. Once you, like, when you winnow somebody's life down to a tradable anything, you're like, oh, you're the fucking bad guy. Thank you for eliminating any gray area around this situation. No, I had the best or most satisfying weapon in a video game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then,
Master Sword. Powered up gravity gun.
Oh, powered up gravity gun. Yeah, that's really good.
That was the best.
And what's a moment that your gaming or nerd interest crossed proudly into your real life?
Oh.
I'm a Neil Gaiman fan, and I was, I had thought about this obviously beforehand, but, Gaiman's like one of my favorite authors of all time. And I love the movie Stardust, and he has, you know, Sandman comics, like he's a huge influence in the support of our community. And, I got married to the coronation theme from Stardust.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
So, Found the Woman of My Dreams, I got married to it based upon one of my favorite films and a piece from it, so it was pretty.
Oh, that's so nice.
So it's like something akin to, like, you know, there are moments like what we do transcends. Like, I love being in this culture because it's giving.
Yeah.
Like, it's really giving. And it makes your life better.
I feel like we're doing the lightning round right now. I went on a date, and the girl was in a Chrono Trigger, and we played on the date.
Shut up! That's awesome!
That was great.
Yeah, Nicole, my girlfriend, is really into Ocarina of Time.
Oh,
and I was just like, have you ever played Shadow of the Colossus? And she was like, no. And I was like, let's go play it right now.
That's when you can watch.
Yeah. So great. Yeah. And she kept cursing because it was so frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I forgot the camera sucks in this game.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst
camera. Do you guys know they're making a movie out of that?
I'm not shocked.
Yeah.
No, Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, really?
I'm not shocked. It won't work. There's no way. It's like
there's
a 10-second movie. Yeah.
There's no story. No. It's just you're running around killing
those things. And unless you're just selling it on the visuals, like, I don't
that's
know.
That's what they said about Clue, Clayton.
Oh, God, you're right. It's exactly what they said.
No. No one said
that. Byron, thank you so much for coming on and doing
it's been absolutely my pleasure. This has been really fun. Thank you.
Before we go, is there anything you want to plug? Anything going on at the Public House right now?
No, we always have a lot of stuff going on at the Public House Theater, a lot of obviously nerd-based stuff. We do have Of Dice and Men.
Oh, yes.
A Midwest premiere.
Sawyer was telling me about this.
Yeah, absolutely. So it has this Midwest premiere coming up. I do a podcast at, We the Nerds. Nice. Which I found out that capitalization is very important in that, because otherwise I saw somebody commenting at one time as wet he nerds, which is not what you want to consider a podcast.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, not really. Cool. You know what? I just plug you guys. Like, I've been really excited to do this, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, thank you.
Clayton, anything you want to plug?
Hijinks here at the Public House. Saturday at 8 p.m. different time. It's going to be... Ooh, it's going to be crazy, you guys.
It is going to be crazy.
It is going to be something out of this goddamn world.
Clayton's mad because there's an element that makes him mad about it. We won't talk about it. And hopefully this will be up before it comes out. And you can watch him.
You should definitely come and watch me get angry. Angry at the world. Yeah. It's going to be great.
We just found this out recently. Shock Tease is going to be playing at the new Lincoln Lodge.
Great.
Yeah, we never played there before. We got booked for the first time, like, the day before it closed, at the old place. It's now at Subterranean. I don't remember the date, but I'll bring that next week, you guys.
Sure, man.
Byron, thanks so much for doing this. Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
Clean up the baby.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.